How wonderful is God in his holy places. Lord God, please let all that I say come from you, through me, and out to others. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I love celebrations like birthdays and anniversaries and graduations. And as a nation, this weekend, we celebrate the lives of those who gave themselves for us on this Memorial Day so that we might enjoy the freedom that we have. You know, marking mankind's achievements happens all over the world. It celebrates our human ingenuity. And I started thinking about the celebrations that we as Christians have. And we celebrate some pretty extraordinary, unimaginable, humanly impossible acts of God in the world. Jesus lifted up his arms, blessed the disciples, and was taken into heaven. In our ordinary world, God has done some extraordinary things. Many of our churches, there's a Paschal candle, which was first lit and burns throughout our Easter season as a sign of Christ's risen for us, and that we remember that he is present always among us. And you know, back in the day, this candle was extinguished on Thursday, on Ascension Day. And it made a nice, neat package of 40 days of Easter. Jesus rose from the dead, he walked among us, and then he ascends and is no longer with us. But that left us feeling kind of empty while we waited for the Holy Spirit to come at Pentecost. And then the Spirit was seen as sort of a stand-in for Jesus. But today, however, we celebrate a more ancient and arguably, I think, a more profound meaning of Jesus' ascension. And I'm glad, because I think that it honors the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The resurrection and the ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit are understood as pieces of a larger picture. With God, there's no looking back. Jesus has not gone away. So the Paschal candle still burns today, and we still greet each other with Alleluia, Christ is risen. Just as the resurrection doesn't turn back the clock to the way things were before Jesus died, the ascension doesn't turn it back to the way things were before he was born. God's movement, the Jesus movement, as Bishop Curry might call it, is always forward. Let's take a look at what happened in the gospel today. Jesus is praying to the Father concerning his own glorification and how his work glorifies the Father by making God known to the people. His prayer describes how vulnerable the disciples are, and he asks the Father to make them holy. The passage following today's gospel finds Jesus continuing that prayer, that those who believe in him through the word of the disciples, making the Father known in the world, may also be one, all together. Now, in the verse 18, he says, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Glory and love and vulnerability and self-giving, the revelation of God, these are the themes of his prayer. The gospel finishes with Jesus saying to the Father, I am coming to you. Think about the journey that the disciples have been on with Jesus and with us. Even close your eyes if you can just imagine and go back and think about the ministry that he had. Think about as if you were walking with him, having seen Jesus performing miracles. You witnessed many amazing, unbelievable signs and acts. You saw Jesus' loving acceptance of just about everyone he met. The last few months, however, have been emotionally and spiritually draining. We went from the high of riding into Jerusalem shouting, Hosanna in the highest, to that self-realization that no matter how deep our faith runs, we're human. We're capable of denying Jesus. And you know, that makes his crucifixion sting even more deeply. And then we go back to the high when we realize he's alive. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. Because this is the Sunday after Ascension, being Thursday past, I wanted to take a look at Luke's gospel. And Luke's gospel has us again gathered there on the Mount of Olives. We're standing here with Jesus. And you know, even knowing what comes next, I'm not sure any of us could imagine the unbelievable event that we're about to witness. Jesus spoke to them saying, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Did you catch that from Luke's account? And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That line alone made me stop and take a good hard look at the whole gospel. Because do you mean to tell me that for the last 3 years, Jesus could have simply opened the minds of the disciples to understand and eliminated all the confusion and the frustration? The ability to instantly enable people to comprehend the complexity of our relationship with God would have come in pretty handy, I think, through his ministry, a couple of times. But seriously, if Jesus had just done this from the start, opened our minds, the whole gospel would have been about a paragraph long. It would have been something like this. Jesus was born and grew up. At the wedding at Cana, Jesus performed his first miracle. People had questions. He opened their minds to understand. He told them to love God and to love each other. They immediately called the Romans. He was crucified, died, was buried. He ascended into heaven. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. The end. Yes, but I don't think that would be a sustainable gospel. I don't think that gospel would stand the test of time. Jesus needed to lead by example. He needed to have that fully human and relatable experience with the people, with us. We need to participate in changing our ways. We need to learn to love each other. And experience is our best teacher. We need to see ourselves in the story. We need to recognize our own behavior. We need to feel the love and the joy and the hope and the brokenness and the healing and the redemption of Jesus' love for ourselves. People value what they work for. And Jesus calls us to participate in sharing God's love and the message of salvation with the whole world. All of us are members of the priesthood of all people. We are all called to spread the gospel through our words and through our actions. Now, the disciples' minds were open, so when Jesus ascended into heaven, they rejoiced because they understood. They trusted their eyes, they trusted what had been revealed to them, and they trusted Jesus. Then they were given the gifts of the Spirit, and they proclaimed repentance and forgiveness, beginning in Jerusalem. But what about us? You believe the gospel? Do we trust the account of the ascension of Jesus? And did this mind-opening, extraordinary event take place? Does our relationship to God ever cause extraordinary things to happen? I think so. I think it happens all the time. I think every time that we tell the truth, that we love an enemy, that we respect people different from ourselves, that we stand up for each other, that we feed, we clothe, we shelter strangers who have no way of ever repaying us, I think overcoming our human nature, I think that's extraordinary. Turning away from the devil's temptations because we know the love and joy of God. It's an extraordinary thing that we experience all the time. Dr. Walter Eversley was my theology professor, and he used to say, just because something has never happened before in the history of the world does not mean it is impossible. Imagine right now, for example, your spiritual leader, your priest, Denise. What would happen if all of a sudden she began to levitate from her chair and float through the nave and out through the open doors? Of course, we'd be rushing to follow her, right? Like, what's going on? Where's she going? Okay, by the time we get to the edge of the rail, there she is going off up into the clouds, higher and higher until she becomes but a speck and disappears. I think we'd kind of all look at each other in disbelief. Who would we tell? How do you report something like that? Is it difficult to have faith? Is it? The thing that I find more difficult than faith is trust. Because I do not want to appear foolish. But if I trust God, belief is easier, and faith is simpler, and grace is given more freely. And when my trust fails, that's when the foundation of my faith crumbles. Our readings from Acts today shed some light on what comes next for us, because that's the next question. Now what do we do? While he was going, and they were gazing upward toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking upward into heaven? This Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." Well, like the men in the white robes said, what are we waiting for? We can begin right now in this moment to live into our call to spread the good news of love and redemption. Right now. There's no need to wait. We can open our minds and we can begin to change our normal, ordinary way of thinking and acting in the world. You do not need to trust my words, though, because I think that Peter said it better in his letter. He said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Don't be afraid." I know my next words might frighten some of you, however, but do cast off your anxiety, because in today's gospel, Jesus is praying. He is praying a prayer for us and for our mission of evangelism. I said it, we're called as members of the priesthood of all people to evangelize, tell the world of Christ's love and redemption. But do not let your hearts be troubled. You know, I do trust. I trust God and I trust all of us. Trust God. Listen to your heart. Open your minds to the wonder of God's creation and live into the call to spread the good news of Jesus' love and of salvation for everyone. But remember to pray for each other, because we are all in this together. Amen.